Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome. We're delighted that you're with us tonight for this very special time together on Thanksgiving Eve. And I would even say that Thanksgiving Eve 2020, we have joined here, no matter what is going on round about us, to give glory to God tonight. Amen? Because we understand God has been good. No matter what's going on in the culture, whatever is going on round about, we declare that God is good. Now, 3 weeks ago, we embarked upon a brand new Sunday morning series titled 2020, What Would Jesus Say? This series is based upon the hypothetical question, what if Jesus Christ himself would enter into this sanctuary tonight, come to this pulpit, what would he have to say to us in this unprecedented time of world history? Specifically on this Thanksgiving Eve, what would Jesus say about living a life of gratitude? Now, I would dare say that never has there ever been in modern history a year quite like this year of 2020. The overwhelming majority of people that I talk to can't wait for 2020 to be over. In their minds, 2020's been a total bust. Like the old saying from the city of Nazareth that we read about in the Bible, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And they would say, can anything good come out of the year 2020? 2020 has been personified by the masses as a living monster that has robbed them of their life as they once knew it and so enjoyed. They feel like they've been robbed of restaurants and theater and concerts and museums and travel and family functions and graduations and weddings and receptions. And the list goes on of how they feel as though they have been robbed by the year of 2020. Now, I came across a phone parody the other day that's rather humorous, but it also expresses, I believe, the feeling of many about this moment. Listen to what it says. Thank you for calling the 2020 A-Day customer support line. All of our natural disasters, plagues, and political upheavals are currently busy. If you're not experiencing a natural disaster, plague, or political upheaval, one will be assigned to you shortly. Please stay on the line, and thank you for choosing 2020. I saw another sign the other day that read, the first rule for 2021, never talk about 2020. And so many would say, good riddance to 2020. So if Jesus were standing at the pulpit tonight, what would he say about 2020 and the general attitude of the nation at this time? And more specifically, what would Jesus say about the measure of our gratitude as his followers in this year of 2020? First of all, friends, I believe that Jesus would remind us that our daily lives have literally been filled with God's manifold blessing. And that our lives, if we're looking for it, we can see the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 103 is one of my favorites. Here's what it says, starting with verse 1. We talked about it last Sunday for a moment. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. David is saying, I'm calling upon my being. I'm calling upon my soul. You will worship and glorify God. You will not be down in the mouth. You will not be despondent. You will not be discouraged. You will not withhold praise from God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We might say, and forget not all of his blessings to us. And then he begins to list them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I read about a guy that went to see his optician to get his eyes checked because he was seeing things as everything in the world falling apart. And so he goes into the optometrist and said, "Doc, I don't know what's wrong with my eyes, but everywhere I look, I just see everything falling apart." And the doc examined his eyes and said, "I'll tell you what's wrong. You have 20/20 vision." I fear many of us have gotten 20/20 vision and have a distorted view of 20/20 and have a distorted view of the blessing of God. Verse 2 again of Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Let's pause for a moment in this service and let's recall some of the many blessings that we have received during this, what has been called the 2020 pandemic year. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to participate with me. How many have ever been in a testimony service? Let me see your hand. Wave them at me. You know what I mean? Where you declare what God has done in your life. Now, here's what we're going to do. Rather than standing and coming up to the front, taking a mic or anything of the sort, I'm going to list some of the blessings of the Lord. And if this blessing has been a blessing in your life, I'm going to ask you to stand at that moment, okay? And so it's going to be up and down. You're going to get your exercise for the next few moments. And if you're unable to do that or can't do that or won't do that, at least wave. All right? Okay, here we go. First one, you've had a roof over your head, a place to live in the year 2020. If so, let's stand and give glory to God. Amen? That's right. Give him glory. Say, "Lord, I receive this from you, and I bless your holy name." You may be seated. How many have had electricity in the year 2020? Come on. You may be seated. How many have had heat in your homes this cool time of the year? Let me see your hand. And we say, "Thank you, Lord." You may be seated. How many have enjoyed running water in your house? Hey, all right. You may be seated. My wife grew up on a farm where if you want running water, you would run and get the water. How many have had a bed to sleep on? Yeah, right. You may be seated. How many have had food on the table for every meal that you chose to eat? God has been good. You may be seated. How many have had clothing to wear? Yes. You may be seated. How many have had transportation of one sort or another, but you were able to get to where you wanted to go? That's right. We praise him for it. How many have enjoyed divine health? God's just given you a year of healthiness, and you have been blessed. Amen. And we thank him for it. And just as importantly, how many have experienced divine healing at some time throughout this past year? Now, how many in the house tonight have received forgiveness of their sin? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Some of you, this is the most exercise you've gotten all year. You've been locked up. It's time to get out and rejoice in the Lord your God. Amen? How many have received mercy, undeserved favor from God? It's been his mercy that has been fresh and new every single day. You may be seated. Now listen to this. How many have received divine protection from danger, from an accident, or from harm in your life? God has been your protector. Okay, so 2020 hasn't been all that bad at all. God has been good, church. And we give him praise for it. Now, with those blessings in mind, all of those that we just talked about for a moment, let's go right back to Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 once again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits or blessings. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, that is bringing divine protection, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. If Jesus were to stand here at the pulpit tonight, I believe that he would say to us, do not allow the 2020 spirit of negativity that so permeates the culture to blind you from seeing the many blessings you have received from my almighty hand. I believe that he would say that if you were in the house tonight. One day, many years ago now, a man by the name of Jerry Fetter. Jerry was a cabinet maker who was blind in one eye. He taught me what I believe to be one of the greatest lessons that I've learned in life. I went over to his home, and I was sitting upstairs in the room, in the living room together with my wife and his wife, Lil. And in the midst of the conversation, Jerry said to me, he said, I want you to come with me down to my workshop, which was located in the basement of his home. And he was a cabinet maker. He had every plane, every kind of, tool imaginable down there, and stocks of wood and, all kinds of things. And so I went to the basement with him, expecting to see some of his latest projects. I was rather surprised when he asked me to come and sit down by his drafting table. And as I sat there alongside of Jerry Fetter, he took out a rather simple painting and he placed it before me and he said, what do you see in this picture? And I quickly took a glance at it and I said, it's a picture of a lake. To which he said, is that all you see? And then he began to methodically walk me through every single piece and everything that was in that painting. And I suddenly began to see things that I had passed over. There were trees, mixtures of evergreens and oaks. There were birds that were flying in the sky. There were pheasants that were back in the bush. There were two deer grazing off in the meadow. There were turtles that were sunning themselves on a log. And you could see the silhouette of fish in the shallows. And there was a father and son fishing from shore, and the sun was shining brightly in the sky. After methodically pointing out the details, every single detail in that picture, which took some time, Jerry then drove home the point. When he said to me, he said, when I asked you, what is this? You said, it's a picture of a lake. And you missed nearly everything that was in the picture. He said when this particular artist painted this picture, he placed every single detail in that picture just for your enjoyment, and you almost missed it all. I think many times we get so wrapped up in life, we fail to see the many blessings of God that surround us every day. 2020 vision, that is seeing it through the lens of the times and the seasons and the pandemic and the chaos that's been in our cities and our streets. This 2020 vision, if we're not careful, will rob us of seeing the blessings of God that surround us each and every day of our life. And again, when it comes to gratitude, as it is in all other things, Jesus is our perfect example. I want to walk you through three different portions of Scripture And in these three portions of Scripture, I want you to see how Jesus took time and how he modeled for us a life of gratitude. The first is the feeding of the 5,000. In John chapter 6, we read these words. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." Notice both the loaves were small and the fish were small. "But how far will they go amongst so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. So if you're counting, you could actually have more than 15,000 people, but there's 5,000 men. If they're accompanied by their wives and a child or two, the number could have swelled even into 15,000 or more. But we know there was at least 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves and he did what? He gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now, if you notice that portion of Scripture there, it says right in the middle, Jesus took these loaves of bread and he held them up, and the Bible says he gave thanks. You know, so often, friends, we sit down to a meal if we're not careful, and we fail to recognize that God is the source. It may not be the miraculous multiplication of, you know, bread and fish, but it is certainly the goodness and the blessing of God. And every meal that we've eaten all throughout 2020, even during the times of stores and shortage and all of that, God has been faithful. And God has seen to it that whatever we needed, we would have at the moment that we needed it. And all of us in this room can testify to the fact that God has been faithful and he's been our faithful provider. And Jesus, that's right. And Jesus, he takes the bread and he realizes if these 5 loaves and 2 fish would ever be enough for more than one person's meal, it was going to take the blessing of God. And so he holds them up and he blesses them. He thanks God for them and then does the distribution. As you read on in Mark chapter 8, you'll discover there's the feeding of the 4,000. And again, in the feeding of the 4,000, the same is recorded. He takes the bread and he blesses it, and that which is little becomes sufficient for 4,000 people. What about the raising of Lazarus from the dead? In John chapter 11, starting with verse 38, listen to what happens here. And I want you to see how Jesus, he lived a life of gratitude. He would never sit down and have a meal without thanking God for his provision. And you'll see it again here in John chapter 11. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Now, this is the tomb of Lazarus. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Just about a year and a half ago, when I was in Israel, for the first time, I went over to the tomb of Lazarus. And as I was standing at that tomb, I couldn't help but think about what we're reading here right now in John chapter 11. And in verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. There is nothing like the smell of decaying flesh." And she said, "Just forget it. It's over. It's too late." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father," here it is again now, "I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth about his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." But notice there, Jesus standing before the tomb. Before he gives a command for Lazarus to come forth, he looks up towards heaven. He says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Friends, when you think about how many prayers we have prayed, and to know that there's not one of them that has ever fell on deaf ears in heaven, that God has heard every prayer. And you say, "Well, I'm still waiting for some answers. I wonder if he's heard." I want you to know God's, delays is not a denial. He is working the perfect moment in the perfect time, for he does all things perfect and all things perfect in his time. And I want you to know your answer is on the way. God is sending it forth. And he looked up towards heaven. He said, "I want everyone to understand the importance of this moment, and that my Father's listening to me." You know, when you think about 8 billion of us on this planet today, when you think about all the times, whether it's casually or whether it's in a very, very rigid form of prayer, however it is that we're seeking God's help at that moment, we ask him over and over for this, that, and the other thing. I'm so glad to know that he is listening to us. And Jesus said, "That's something to thank God for." And I believe we ought to thank him for it as well, don't you? That he listens to us as we pray. Let's go to the Last Supper for a moment. That's recorded in Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 14. It says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." So Jesus said, "I've looked forward to this moment." That's pretty incredible when you think about the fact Jesus knew exactly what was going to follow. Only hours later, he's going to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be placed on trial. And within hours' time, he is going to be crucified. And so he said, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, and we're going to do this in a few moments' time. After taking the cup, he did what? He gave thanks. And he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took the bread. And once again, what did he do? He gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Now, when you look at the circumstances and the situations in which we have just read Jesus giving thanks to the Father, he gives thanks to the Father for provision. He gives thanks to the Father for his will that's going to be done. He gives thanks to the Father for the fact that he's listening to his prayer. Friends, here's what you need to understand. In giving thanks, Jesus made the ordinary sacred. And every time we give thanks, whether it's for the roof overhead, whether it's electricity that we so appreciate, and the lights and the heat and the running water, the bed we sleep on, the transportation we have, the clothing we wear, all of these blessings and thousands of others. Every time we say, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift of your blessing and mercy upon my life, we take what is ordinary and we make it sacred. And friend, I want you to know, if you want to move into the realm of knowing God and knowing his blessings in greater way, there's no better way to do so than to turn the ordinary into the extraordinary and to turn the ordinary into that which is sacred in recognizing every single time, every meal, every mile we drive, everything we do, it's the blessing of God. It's been his protection. It has been his goodness over each and every one of us. And we have much to praise him for. Amen, church. So in the midst of a year, where others are saying, I can't wait for it to get over. In a year where they're saying, this entire year is just a waste. I want you to know that God has been weaving into your life every single moment, every single day. Every heartbeat has been a gift. Every breath we've drawn is a gift. Every meal we've sat down to has been a gift. The gift of God, the blessing of God surrounds us. And I believe if Jesus would come in and stand at this pulpit tonight, what he would say to us about gratitude is, I want you to open your eyes and I want you to see how good your Father has been to you and how good and gracious he has been in every realm of life. Now, Father, tonight, we quiet ourselves for these next few moments as we get ready to celebrate communion. Realizing, Lord, that you gave your life for us willingly. Your word declares, and you declared yourself, no man takes my life. I lay it down willingly for my friends. Lord, eternity will not be long enough for us to be able to express our gratitude for the fact that you would take our sin upon yourself, that you would take the death penalty that was rightfully ours because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But you paid that price for us. Lord, there will never be enough time in this life. It will take all of eternity to say thank you for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, for mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that is fresh and new every single day. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need of, thou hast provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And we can all say that. Lord, you have been so good. Help us, Lord, I pray, not to mimic the world round about us. Help us, Lord, not to see merely with the natural eye as the world sees. But help us, Lord, I pray, to see and to look at the model that you placed before us, that in all things give thanks. And so, Lord, we pause for a moment and we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your divine protection. Lord, over a congregation that is as large as this, thank you, Lord, for your blessing of divine health. Thank you, Lord, for those moments when we've needed the infusion of your health that you can bring into a body that's racked with pain or sickness. Thank you, Lord, for the many times you have healed. Thank you, Lord, for all provision. Help us, Lord, I pray. Tomorrow, whether we sit with many or with few, with much on the table or with little, Lord, to recognize that the place we're in, the table we're sitting at, the chairs we're seated upon, every dish, every plate, every napkin, every glass, Lord, every single bit of food on the table, all is a representation of your goodness. The fact that we're alive is a fact of your goodness. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all those times when we would have marked it off and said, well, we're pretty lucky that day. We almost bit the bullet. But you're faithful. Lord, to know there's nothing that's happening in our lives that's just happenstance, that you are faithfully watching over your own. So I thank you, Lord, for these moments where we can just once again think about your goodness and help us, Lord, I pray, not only on this Thanksgiving week, but help us, Lord, to develop an attitude that is like the one you modeled. You gave thanks. Help us, Lord, I pray, to take what you have done as a way and a means of living our lives. I pray, oh God, you'd bless now, Lord, this communion time as we remember what you've done for us. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, just before we go to the communion. If you're in the house tonight and you're saying, you know, I know that before we go to the communion, it's always a moment of self-inspection. And I just know that I've blown it. I've not lived the life that God has called me to live. I have failed him. I have sinned. And I want forgiveness tonight before I go forth to partake of the Lord's Supper. I just want to get things right with God. And Pastor, would you just pray for me, pray over me, that I might find that place, that special place that God has created for me to have in him, and that I might have salvation and peace of mind. Let me just, by waving your hand, say, pray for me tonight. Will you do that, Pastor? Yes, I see hands, scores of hands all over the room. You may put your hands down. Will you just make this your prayer? As I pray, as I lead tonight, right where you're at, just say, Lord, thank you for loving me even in the midst of my sin. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on me. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given to me, even in my rebellion. Lord, I don't want to go one moment longer without recognizing you as the Lord over my life. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the only solution that can wash away sin. Your blood, wash me, cleanse me. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing me. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you for the new start. And Lord, I just pray right now that each one that prayed that prayer in their own heart, Lord, that they would just simply raise up a hallelujah, thank you to you. They would say, thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you, Lord, for what you have promised to do and what you have done, washing away, giving me a brand new start. Thank you, Lord Jesus.